Amen. You may be seated around the world. Strong-willed child of God. If I could draw your attention to verses 12 and 13, we just finished reading it. It says, let him who stands take heed lest he falls. She who stands take heed lest she falls. Verse 13, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to man. But God is faithful, the God who is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able to bear, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Before I say another thing and go in any other direction, I feel the Holy Ghost in this moment just wanting me to tell somebody that he won't allow more on you than you can bear. He won't allow more on you than you can bear. I know that the word temptation is in here, and so I know we're thinking about temptation, and we are, but I always heard this passage also applied to trials and difficulties and stuff that makes you want to snap and stuff that makes you want to lose it. I don't know what you've heard this past week. I don't know what's going on in your life, but I want you to know that you can handle it. Tell somebody you can handle it. You can handle it. That you got a doctor's appointment this week, but you can handle it. Maybe it's bad news, but you can handle it. Maybe you just found out you're pregnant. You can handle it. Maybe you just found out she's pregnant. You can handle it. Maybe you just found out they're doing drugs. You can handle it. Maybe you just find out that they're about to lay folk off. It's all right. You can handle it. I don't know who I'm talking to, but you can handle it. God is not going to allow more on you than you can bear. I had the kind of mama, and I know that I talk about my mama a lot, and I don't want to act like my mama was perfect. My mama's watching, probably. Shout out. My mama was not perfect, and I love my mama like all of you love your mama. I know I talk about my mama a lot. My mama had this way of being able to beat you and love you. I don't know how many of you got beat, but I did. But my mama had a way of loving you and beating you. Matter of fact, at one point, she called it, "Let me give you some of my love." That's what she would say. Oh, it sounds like you need some of my love. Some of my love about to rain down on you. And I'll be like, you can say that love. She'd be like, no. You about to get some of this love. She was determined that her discipline and her consistency, that she was not going to allow her love for her children to keep her from disciplining her children. And she refused to allow the discipline of her children to make her children feel like she didn't love them. She did a good job of kind of mixing that. One of the things I give my mama credit for, she did a good job of mixing that. She beat you and give you dessert. She beat you, then she come back and pray for you. And after she beat you, I know it's not popular, but after she beat you, she was your best friend. She wasn't all day mad at you bringing it up. Once she beat you, it was over. One of the things that she did was she watched what she said about her children. She realized that death and life is in the power of your mouth, and you have what you say. Everybody say, you have what you say. At home, say, you have what you say. So many, no, say in the room, you have what you say. Whatever you have is probably what you're saying. And so my mom was careful about what she said about her children. So in what she would say, and I'll throw just a couple of things on the screen just to make my point. It's not really my point, but just to get there. She would say, you weren't bad, you were busy. Instead of calling you a bad child, they called you a busy child. Like you're just busy. You weren't a monster, you were mischievous. Now we had some of my siblings, I was wonderful, but some of my siblings were monsters, but my mom was like, no, they're mischievous. Your mouth wasn't flip, It was smart. That smart mouth. Your mouth is so smart. And my point is, you weren't a bad child. You were a strong-willed child. That was a term that she used for me and any of her children that were particularly difficult. Instead of saying you were bad, she said, you're strong-willed. Anybody fit that? Is there anybody in the room besides me who that was you? You was a strong-willed. Stop lying. Get your hands up. You were a strong-willed child. You talked too much. You asked too many questions. Oh, come on. You was always in grown folks' conversation. You was always wondering. You always wondered why I got to go to bed, why I got to brush my teeth, why your teeth ain't clean. You always were slightly challenging authority. They told you you talk too much. They told you you need to be seen and not heard. You were strong-willed. That was you. I'm your pastor because that was me. I don't just take it and believe it just because you say it. I want to know. I want to analyze. I ask questions. I want to know what's going on. Just because you tell me something don't mean I'm going to believe it. And just because you tell me something don't mean you're doing it. And I was quick to be like, I was quick to have a little bit of something to say. Get in there, clean your room. And while I'm in there, I'm sitting in there saying, you need to clean your room. And she said, what you say? And I said, I'm looking for the broom. Because I knew better than to say it and get knocked out. But I was thinking it. I know I'm not the only one that was told, fix your face. Fix your face. Because you're thinking something evil. And you have to, you were taught to fake it. You were taught to fake it, especially with your mama. That's you. I want you to know, in a sense, you're in the right place because to this day, I'm still like that. I argue with the Bible. I argue with the passage. Sometimes God looks at me because I got a small little attitude. This passage right here is really for you. That's you. This passage is for you. It's definitely for me because the passage is saying that there's no temptation that is on you except what is common to man. In other words, the word is saying you ain't dealing with nothing that no other human has dealt with. And the reason why the word has to say that is because you're the kind of person that might say this ain't fair. They didn't have to deal with that. They don't have to go through that. You're the kind of person that looks at what other people are getting or not getting, and you count who deserves what, and you count who's got there first. Okay, I'll just be quiet. And you try not to be a hater, but there's a little bit of you that is, and you are measuring who's holy and who's not, and who's right and who's not, and you a little mad that the people that ain't as holy as you got more than you or ain't as cute as you got better than you. I'll just leave it alone. There's a little part of you that is thinking what I'm dealing with is not what other people have to deal with. And the word is saying, well, actually, there isn't anything on you right now that another human being hasn't had. You don't have some kind of special demon. You got the same demon everybody else got. I wish I had a witness. Well, you have to realize the demons we dealing with down here in Las Vegas is different than the demons that's up there in Texas. Let me tell you something. The devil is the devil everywhere. The same demons they got in Las Vegas is the same demons they got here. Same demons in Africa. Well, they got special demons in Africa. They got special demons. Well, the same demons they got in Africa, they got here. Y'all just don't know that's a demon. That's what that is, that you are not dealing with anything that another human hasn't dealt with. God won't allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able to bear. There's a passage that reminds me of this, and it's in James chapter 1. Let me throw it up real quick, and I'll get to my point. James chapter 1, that's at verse 12, says, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him." Verse 13, "Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I'm tempted by God.' For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone with evil. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed." This is a passage written to strong-willed children. Because strong-willed children say, well, God is the one who brought them through. And James is saying, look, I want you to be careful not to blame your temptation on the Lord. I want you to be careful not to say, well, God is tempting me. God don't tempt anyone with evil. Be careful not to start to question the motives of God and the attitude of God. This is something that the strong-willed child does. The strong-willed child starts to question, do you want me to go to bed because it's time to go to bed? Or do you want me to go to bed because you're tired of me? I know I'm not the only one that went to bed and it was still light outside. Good God, help us. Holy Ghost. And I'm in there mad. 8 o'clock, time for bedtime. And I'm laying in there thinking, no. 8 o'clock, time for me time. That's what that is. You want to be by yourself. And so now I'm questioning the motive of my parent. Ooh, I got quiet. Oh, it's not that you want me to not date. You just don't want nobody to be cute like you. You start to question whether or not the leader's motives are correct or not. You get in your feelings and you start to say, you're doing that on purpose so that you can blah, 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 blah. All of these are signs that you are a strong-willed child. You have to be careful. The word says, wait. You're tempted because you have lust. You can go ahead and admit it. Everybody in the room, we can just rebuke the lying demon right now. You have lust. My hand is up. I have lust. Anybody else got lust? I got lust. No, raise your hands before God comes in here. You have lust. You got lust. Can't have no naked worship leaders in here. Y'all have lust. You'll be like, oh my God. You have lust. You have a lust. It's not a lust spirit. It's lust. You have lust. It's okay. It's all right to admit it. You have lust. I was in Chicago and we went to this restaurant called Ooh Wee Soul Food. I don't know if you've ever eaten anything, and then afterwards, it's in your dreams. I wish I had a witness. I'm planning a trip to go back there to get some of them yams. I mean, what is that? It's a lust. I got a lust spirit for cobbler. Woo, thank you, Lord. He's saying, no. What happens is you're tempted because you have desires you don't want to admit you have. The Christian world got overly demon-focused because we didn't want to admit that we nasty. We didn't want to admit that we human like everybody else. We didn't want to admit that we like a little hip like everybody. Oh, help us. We can cover it in the choir robe, but we still looking at us hot a little bit. We don't want to admit that we are flesh just like everybody else. So now we want to act like God has allowed this to test me. No, 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 sweetheart. You have lust. I got to move on before I lose all my viewers and people get up and walk out. But I'm just telling you the truth. The fact of the matter is that God does provide a way of escape. I said God provides a way of escape. The question is, do you take it? Now, my hand is up because God provided escape, and I hung up. Oh, I wish I ain't got no honest folk. Right at the right moment, just as I was warming up the oils, my God, my mama called, and I didn't take the call. Okay, I'll leave it alone. What I'm saying is there is a way of escape that is provided, but you don't take it. It's not that something came on you that you couldn't take. Where there's a will, there's a way. And the question is, where's your will? I'm trying to be careful I'm trying as best I can to correct a misinformation that we receive, like the devil made us do stuff. Right. The devil's power is influential. I'm impacted by it as well. I'm not saying this to be judgy. What it really came down to is my will. And my question this morning in my last 20 minutes is, are you willing? Are you willing? Listen, God is going to do his part, but are you willing? God is faithful, but are you willing? God is consistent, but are you willing? The question is, where is your will? And my contention, making it a second Sunday in a row, is that it's hard for God's will to affect you when your will is weak. The reason why I called this sermon the strong-willed child of God, and why I told you I'm a strong-willed child, and I was a strong-willed child, and I know you're watching and you're a strong-willed child, is because that's a good thing. The good thing about that is, if we can ever turn your will towards something that is serious, if we can ever get your will chasing after the will of God, because you can't do God's will and have a weak will. If you think the only folk that really come to the Lord are folk who don't have no will, you got another thing coming. God is not intimidated by the strong-willed child. As a matter of fact, what God is looking for is somebody like you that once he gets you on his side, you don't give up easy. You fight, you'll scrap, you'll travel, you'll write songs while nobody listens to them. You have made up in your mind that you are not going to be broke forever. You are not going to be a loser like your grandmama. You are not going to be by yourself. Who am I talking to? You have decided that was them, but that ain't you. You don't forget where you came from. You just don't want to live there no more. And when you find yourself in the hood comes back on you, but you're still uncomfortable. I was raised in the hood, but now whenever I find myself in the hood, it comes on me, but I still say, what am I doing in the hood? It's nice to visit, but I don't want to live there. That may be where I came from, but I have decided that I am not going down without a fight. Who am I talking to? I'm the kind of person, you may beat me up, but I'm going to get my licks in. You may kick my behind, but your nose will be bleeding. You may beat me up, but I'll be biting on your ankle, though. I may shut up today, but I'm going to talk tomorrow, because I'm a strong-willed child, and God likes that. God likes the fact that my will is strong, because you can't do nothing for God if your will's not strong. You can't do nothing with money if your will's not strong. Got quiet. You will always be broke if your will's not strong. You will not run your own business if your will ain't strong. You will not graduate from school if your will is not strong. You will not own your own home if your will is not strong. You will not pay your taxes on time if your will is not strong. You will not save no money if your will is not strong. Weak-willed people end up being the grist. Weak-willed people end up being the cattle. Weak-willed people end up being the slaves. The children of Israel didn't get into Canaan because their will was too weak. And their fear overcame their will. And it's what brought me to Hebrews 11, because I now realize that Hebrews 11 isn't just talking about faith. Hebrews 11 is talking about your will. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Meaning, faith is that thing on the inside that can't nobody see. Faith is the thing that makes you give up, that makes you refuse to give up even when you're down 20. Right now, my son plays basketball. He's at like a JUCO. And so it's like he's at a D1 JUCO on a scholarship, but it's just a one-year program for him to be still seen. And he scouts and folks are coming to see him. And I said to him, boy, I don't care. This is a one-year JUCO. This don't matter. The most important thing right now is for somebody to see you never give up. Down 30, don't give up. Dive. Run, because this ain't the real thing. This is the test to see if you have the guts and the interior fortitude to not care what's on the scoreboard. I don't know who I'm talking to. I came to tell somebody this morning, this ain't the game, baby. You in a JUCO program right now. And what they're doing to you at your job is a test, because if they can make you quit, you'll never own your own thing. Your own thing worse. If you can't do work getting a check, you'll never pay somebody a check. What I'm saying to you is, I've come to the understanding that what faith really is, faith is this invisible thing that makes me not give up when you don't see it. And anybody that you see that's gotten anywhere by faith, they had to keep going when nobody else thought they could get there. They had to keep going when there was no evidence that they would be at that place. My God, you'll see somebody, they're walking in something that they believed it before it happened. They have a strong will. Trying to say to you that faith is about your will. And I think that the faith of God and the will of God should impact your will. There's just nothing worse to me than folk who shout in church and will is weak. I'm thinking, my God, how can you have been submitted to the will of God and the willingness of God and your will hasn't been impacted? So when I look at Hebrews chapter 11, and I started to give these to you last Sunday, and I'm going to finish them this morning. I got 15 minutes. And so Hebrews chapter 11 to me is the strong-willed child of God. Because he says, in the beginning, by faith we understand that the universe was formed by God's hand and command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. So I'm saying, you're going to have to be a strong-willed child of God to understand. There's an understanding that only comes because your will is strong. Some of us just don't understand because it's too tough to understand, and you give up before understanding comes. You got to keep living. It will make sense in a moment. The old mamas used to say, by and by, when the morning comes and will understand it better by and by. But you'll never understand it by and by if you give up before the by and by get here. So it takes a will to understand. By faith, Abel brought a better offering than Cain did. So we said number two, it takes will to sacrifice. Said this last Sunday. It takes will. It takes a strong-willed child of God to sacrifice. That unwilling sacrifice is compulsion. You ought to be willing to give. You ought to be willing to pledge. It takes willingness to do it. So that when we're looking at Hebrews 11, we're not just looking at faith. We're looking at the strength of will, because it takes will to sacrifice. It takes will to sacrifice and then sacrifice some more. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation in which you've invested this much. You're already 10 grand in. And now they're asking you for two more grand or three more grand or four more grand. And now you're sitting there thinking, am I about to give these people another $3,000 of my mind? I already gave you $10,000. And now you need $3,000 more. And you are in a place where you've come too far to go back now. You've spent too much to now give up. And the two grand sounds like a lot, but you already gave $10,000. And so to sacrifice more takes willingness. I can't tell you how many people are unwilling, are unable to have a real relationship because they sacrificed for a knucklehead and now their storage is empty. They don't have it to give. They want to come to me, and they want, oh, now they want to come to this church and say, well, Pastor Andy, you different. I'm like, well, I am different, but I'm not. Don't talk too bad about your last pastor, because I'm a man too. You don't take up eight offerings at this church. You're right, I don't, but I do expect you to give in one of them. See how nobody said nothing? Don't be so burnt by your last experience that you now can't sacrifice at the new opportunity. Oh, I wish I had a witness in the building. Don't go to your new job telling them everything they did bad to you at your last job. Just want you to know, I ain't coming here to work. I want you to know, I don't want no overtime. I'm not going to be here early. I did that at my last job, and they laid me off. Well, so sorry, sweetheart, but unless you are independently wealthy, when you come to me, I'm not going to hire you if you won't sacrifice for me. So it's going to take some willingness. You're going to have to go down in the bottom of your soul, and you're going to have to find where your willingness is. And there's a lot of folk who lose out on the will. They want to act like what happened to them was so great that they can't get past it. But the devil is a liar, especially everybody that's in this room and probably a lot of you that are watching around the world. We are descendants from people who had the worst thing ever happen to them. You are the descendants of women that were raped all the time. You are descendants of people who were broken up from their families. You are descendant from men that were broken. You are descendant from people that were not allowed to read. You an African American, you are from some tough stuff. You are a survivor group. Don't tell me what you can't get over. The devil is a liar. Don't tell me you can't get past that. I'm not trying to be insensitive about you being molested, but I'm sorry. Your great-great-great-great-great-great-grandmama was in a cabin raped every night, and you're here now. What that means is that your will is stronger than you think. I speak it over the room in the name of Jesus. I refuse to let the devil talk you out of how strong you are. You made from some tough stuff. And you can't be a victim forever. At some point, you got to be an overcomer. Who am I talking to? At some point, you got to be tired of always being a victim. Think I ain't suffered, I've suffered. But then at some point, you got to say, well, that's what happened then, but this is what's about to happen now. He's been so good to me, and now I'm believing that he'll be even better than he was before. I said, number three, it says, by faith, Enoch was taken from this life, did not experience death, cannot be found, God taking him away, for he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. So I said, number three, it's a willful relationship. It takes a strong will to have a relationship. Anybody that has a relationship has a strong will. You have a romantic relationship, it takes a strong will. You can't be weak-willed and stay together. I quit you back. Wait. This is not the eighth grade. Anybody that's together, you don't know what they've been through. You don't know what happened in their marriage. I know you look at me at first like, oh, it's perfect. No, it ain't, baby. It is not perfect. See how quiet it got? No, Pastor Andy, say it isn't so. It's not perfect. It's not. Quiet. What I'm saying to you is we together because we decided that we were going to stay together. Oh, my Lord. We are together because we decided to forgive each other. See how nobody wants to say amen? But believe me, there have been times when she was like, do I want to be here with you? And I was like, I know, I'm a lot, huh? And there were times when she was like, do you really want to be here? And I was like, do I? It takes a strong will to have a friend. If you don't have no friend, I don't know if I really trust you if you don't have no friend. If you don't have somebody that will take the stand and lie for you. Anybody got a friend like that? I got a friend like that. Will swear on the Bible. I swear to tell the truth, whole truth. He was with me the whole time, Your Honor. Anybody got a friend like that? I got a friend like that. He will lie for me to keep me out of jail. Looking like this, cute like this, he know I can't go to jail. The devil is a lie. He will lie. If your friend won't lie for you, they not your friend. Who know who I'm talking to? If they're too saved to lie, they ain't your friend. I want somebody saved enough to go to heaven and heathen enough to lie for me. I wish I had a witness in the building. That's the kind of friend I want. I want my friend to be like that and my lawyer to be like that. I want my lawyer to be. My lawyer is saved enough to tithe, but heathen enough to bribe a judge. No, what I'm saying is that you want your friend. Sorry. You want your friend. I done told to just end it, just leave it. Elder Dion saying, move on. What I'm saying is it takes a will to have a relationship. You may not want to hear this, but it gets to a point where it takes a strong will to have a relationship with your parents. Oh, everybody said amen on that once. Folk are like, because my mama get all my nerve. No doubt about it. It takes a will to go to that cookout. Takes a will to answer the phone. You're like, oh, what is this about to be some, what is this? Because they are calling from Rayford. They are calling from Fayetteville. They are, and you know, ain't nothing good happening in no Rayford. Somebody got shot. That's what happened. And so what I'm saying is it takes a will. I know I'm not the only one. Only reason why I even have a relationship with my father is because I've decided to have one. Oh, I didn't get no amens on that one. I decided to forgive him. I decided to let him go. I decided he didn't mean it for evil. And even if he did, God turned it around from God. I'm so blessed. Matter of fact, I'm too blessed to be mad. I'm too blessed to have an attitude. I'm too blessed to remember everything you did to me. Let me tell you something. The Lord has blessed me so much that if I started to complain, the Holy Ghost will say, now I know you're not talking no junk with how I have made a way for you. I know after what you got and where you live. Are you saying I wasn't a father to you? Your daddy called you. He ain't been around for 25 years. Go sit down and have a cup of coffee and get over it. Where's your will? Thought you were saved. I will never speak to him. I will never. He was not there. You don't know what happened with you and his. You don't know what happened with him and his mom. You don't know what kind of baby's mama your mama was. Help us. You don't know what she said the last time she saw him. She might have said, this ain't your baby. You don't know. You at least owe him to sit down and listen to him make his case as to why he would like to be in your life now that you're 45. And if you are stuck on when you were 6, your will is weak. My Lord and my God. Am I talking to anybody in here? I'm not the only one whose parents, you're not the only one whose parents disappointed you. But is your will strong? I said number 4. Lord, I said number 4. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark. I said, it takes a strong will to be warned. Your will has to be strong to ask for a warning. You have to have a strong will to ask somebody, does this match? You have to have a strong will to ask somebody, is this a good hairstyle? You have to have a strong will to ask somebody, how's my breath? You have to have a strong will for you to talk to someone that says, can I warn you? Can I tell you something that's about to happen that you might not like? Some of us don't like to talk to people with gray hair because they always telling you something negative that's about to happen. Now watch out for this. Is your hip? Is your hip? They always, but you need to hear what might about to happen to your hip. Takes faith, takes a strong will to get a mammogram. Oh, help us, Holy Ghost. Takes a strong will to get your colon checked for cancer. It takes a strong will to do the screening because you're scared of what they might find. That takes strength of will. That takes strength on the inside. Can I even warn you? Thing that is so scary to me is, can we even warn you, or can we only preach to you what your itching ears want to hear? Number five says, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. So number 5 is the will to obey in ignorance. This is really hard for strong-willed children, but once God gets you on his side and once you really get it together, you are actually able to do some walking even if you don't know where you're going. If you can only make money off of things you understand, you're gonna be broke. You have to be able to invest in something that you don't really fully understand the technology, but you trust your advisor. Some of us want too much of an explanation. And if we can't understand it, we will not walk in it. But can you obey even when don't understand. Can I get a witness in the room of somebody who's obeyed when they didn't really see what was going to happen? Can I just to know I'm preaching good? And around the world, you can just put it in the comment. Yeah, I definitely just stepped on out and did what they said. And it didn't feel good. But I did it. I was ignorant, but I obeyed. It takes a strong will to do that. It takes a strong will to step out of the boat and walk on water. You don't do that with a weak will. You don't move to a place where you don't have it all figured out. It says Abraham is called to go somewhere that belongs to him. Can I just speak that? I feel the Holy Ghost. Can I speak that there's a place that belongs to you? I don't know who that's for. There's a place that belongs to you. There's a home that belongs to you. There's a land that belongs to you. The way they're printing up money right now, you need something that they can't print up real easy, and that's land. Let me speak land over everybody in the name of Jesus. May God give you a land that belongs to you and yours for generations. I speak it right now because they can't print that up. They just raise the debt ceiling and they start printing money. Having money's nice, but you need to start having things of value that are inheritable. Challenge of the information age for all of us with iPhones. The challenge of the information age is you have so much information that you think you know everything and you think you need to know everything. Number six. Done. Two more. Number six is the will to move. It takes a strong will to move. Most people are stuck. Most people are stuck. I read a statistic, I was studying this for this sermon, it said over 80% of people are resistant to change. I rebuke that in the name of Jesus, not in this room. Over 80% of people are resistant to change, meaning that change in and of itself bothers them. If you say change, they just get, the idea of getting boxes. I'm praying that you will get some boxes and start packing, because God's got a bigger, better spot for you that costs less. Who am I talking to? That God has something for you besides that lame apartment. You in 1,100 feet because they got a pool outside. That ain't your pool, sweetheart. But they got tennis courts. You don't play tennis. What I'm saying is, can you move, please? You at the same church, at the same house, in the same school, in the same city, with the same friends and the same people, same folk you knew from the eighth grade. Well, we go back. But they not about nothing. But I don't trust nobody new. And that's why you are where you are. Because most people are stuck with a group. They're stuck in a job. They're stuck in a thing. They're stuck in a place. They're stuck in an apartment. They're stuck in a relationship. They're stuck there because it takes a strong will to pack and throw stuff away that's trash. I may speak that over your life right now. When you move, can you throw all that stuff away, please? I speak new. Can you throw that bureau away? Can you throw that away? I had this since college. Then it's time to throw it away. The will to build. I want to connect that to it. The will to build. Can you have a strong enough will to build something? To see something before it's physical. All of you world overcomers, this is what we're about to do. We're about to break ground. We are about to see something that we believe before we see it and actually build something and walk through something that at one point was dirt. That's powerful. Takes a strong will to do that. And then finally, number 7, it says, by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered God faithful who had made the promise. And so number 7 is, it takes a strong will to reproduce against the odds. It takes a strong will to reproduce against the odds. Sarah's old, Abraham's old, and God restores their youth. Matter of fact, God restores Abraham's youth so much that after Sarah dies, Abraham gets somebody else and has some more kids. I'm going to speak that over every dude in the room right now. Oh, hallelujah. Where are the men at? I want a Holy Ghost Viagra. Oh, help. I want God to touch you in such a way that you become reproductive against the odds. The odds are against you as a woman, you'll still reproduce. The odds are against you as a black person, you'll still reproduce. The odds are against you as a Latino, you'll still reproduce. The odds are against you as a person in your situation, in your bracket, in your color, in your move, and wherever it is for you, may the devil's power over you be broken in the name of Jesus. For everybody that's trying to do something against the odds, the devil is a liar. It's going to take a strong will, and I speak that over your life right now, that the minute they lay out the statistics to you, you say, ooh, well, you getting ready to see God do something powerful in my life. You getting ready to see God move now. Oh, really? Well, you never should have told me what the odds were, because the God I serve is the kind of God that makes the crooked straight, makes the rough places plain, and the glory of the Lord is revealed in the mess. Do I have a witness in the room that God likes to fix the messy? God likes to take the stuff that don't nobody else want. You're too old. The devil is a liar. You are never too old. Not if God's involved in it. Not the God I serve. The God I serve will bless you around broke people. I'm going to speak that right now. The God I serve will bless you in a pandemic. Oh, Holy Ghost, have your way. As a matter of fact, can I put the blood over your door right now? And may the death angel pass over you right now. And may your money go to a whole nother place in the middle of a plague. May the death angel pass over you. May it pass over your life. May it pass over your babies. May it pass over your money. Who am I talking to? May it pass over your business. May it pass over your endeavor. May you still have more gigs than ever, because it's against the odds. I want an odd-breaking God. That's what I want to touch. I want an odd gig. I want a God that breaks the odds. I want a God that folk get mad when they see what God has done in me. Do I have a witness? I want a God where folk are upset. Now, how did you get that? And you'll say, if it had not been for the Lord on my side, God stepped in late in the midnight hour. God made a way for me. God opened a door for me. So many doors he's opened. And I would not have believed it if I had not seen it. But I'm speaking it right now. May your eyes not see, and your ears not hear, and your mind has not conceived the odd breaking miracle. I feel the Holy Ghost in here. May God do an odd breaking miracle. May he break the odds off of your life. May he do something that the odds are stacked against you. Who is that? Who is that? Who is that? I feel the Holy Ghost. Who is that? The odds are against me, Pastor Andy. It does not look like I'm going to have this, but I'm believing God for an odd breaking anointing on my life. Favor on my life. Oh, I feel God in here. Who is that? Where they told me I'll never have it, but I'm about to have it. They told me I'll never be there, but I'm about to be there. They told me you will never have nobody, and the devil is a liar. Watch how God is about to turn this thing around for me. I want to pray for somebody today. I want to pray for somebody today who is saying, Pastor Andy, that's me. I am fighting against the odds. The odds are stacked against me. They're saying I'll never ba 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 ba. But I believe today that the anointing of God is on my life, and the odds that they have stacked, they're telling me I'm too old. They're telling me it's too late. They're telling me I'll never have it. They're telling me I'm not educated enough. They're telling me I'm not this enough. I'm not that enough. The devil is a liar. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. If that's you, can you just raise your hands? I would have you come up here, but it's COVID. But in the name of Jesus, around the world, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. Can we plead the blood for just a minute? Can we put the blood on our doorpost for just a minute? Can we plead the blood of Jesus? Can we be old school for just a minute and plead the blood? Satan, the blood of Jesus be against you. Can we plead the blood for just a minute? God, there's power, wonder working power in your blood. We plead the blood. God, we plead the blood. God, right now, we wipe the blood on our doorposts. We wipe the blood on our money. We wipe the blood on our businesses. God, we are believing you right now for an odd breaking miracle. Oh God, I feel your presence. God, I pray for everybody that's fighting against the odds, make a way. For everybody that's odds are stacked against them, God, make a way. They told us we're too old, but we're not too old. They told us it's too late, but it's not too late. They told us we're too black, but we're not too black. They told us we're too white, but we're not too white. They told us you are not the wrong, you are not the right gender, but the devil is a liar. God, right now, we're believing you for money. Let money come to us. Let property come to us. God, in spite of what our credit is now, we're believing that it can be fixed. We speak life and not death, blessings and not cursings over your people. We're believing you now for a miracle. Lord, I'm believing you for a miracle. Lord, I'm believing you for a miracle. Against the odds, miracle. The housing crisis is crazy. You can't get a house right now. The devil is a liar. Materials are hard to find. You won't be able to build that right now. Well, you just set me up for the miracle of a lifetime. Girl, it's 18 to 1. You can't find no good man. The devil is a liar. The odds may look stacked against me, but if God be for me, God be more than the world against me. God be more than the world against me. God be more than the odds against me. Be more, be more, be more, be more. Wrap your arms around yourself. God, I pray that I can't lay my hands on your people. They're watching around the world. They're in the room. But God, I pray, let the anointing of the Holy Ghost rest on us. Baptize us afresh in your spirit right now. And may your power strengthen us again. Revive us again. First Sunday in October, God, I'm praying that this last quarter will be the most prosperous, quarter. Oh, I speak it right now. God, for everybody in sales, God, may this be. Everybody in business, God, may this be against the odds. Government shutdown, against the odds. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And right now we call it done. We call it done. God, I call it done. God, we call it done. Lord, send it from the north, the south, the east, and the west, done. Lord, send money from the north, the south, the east, the west, done. Lord, send people from the north, the south, the east, the west, done. God, send opportunity from the north, the south, the east, the west. Lord, do it. Do it for me right now. Lord, do it. Do it for me. Lord, do it. Do it for me. Do it for my people. Do it for your people. Do it for your people. Do it for your people. Favor on your people. Miracles on your people. Breakthrough on your people. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And somebody with faith said, amen. If you believe that, put your hands together. Can somebody praise him before it's already done? I said, can somebody praise him before it's already done? I said, can you praise him before it's already done? Can you give God a layaway praise? Can you say, Lord, I praise you now before you do it. God, I'll trust you with this praise. I'll trust you with this praise. I'll give you the glory. You give me the victory. Hallelujah. You may be seated in the name of the Lord. I'm going to let you go. Before I let you go, we're paying on our pledge. Can I take up this second offering? I know we made a pledge to the building fund. And if you made a pledge, you can take this picture really quickly. Try not to run out the door. I'm going to let you go in 2 seconds. But we've had a time in here today. My God, Todd was here and the worship team was awesome. And Tam screamed the room off, the ceiling off the room. And it was amazing. And so now, can we give to the work of the kingdom of God? This is your tithe. Above your tithe and offerings, it is above that, it's the offering. And if you take a picture of that QR code, if you're here for the very first time and you're thinking, wow, I'm not begging you for your money, but you certainly can give if you have faith in God. You can sow into the words you heard. You can sow into God giving you a stronger will. If you need an offering envelope, raise your hand. One of the gatekeepers will come to you quickly. Give you an offering envelope. You can give by way of check, of course, WOCC. But certainly you can download that on the QR code, take you to the app, to the My WOCC app, and you give in that way. Can we give to the work of the kingdom of God? Our will is being tested. Can we give? We have 2 years left on this. Thursday, Joe? Friday? Thursday night was our 2 years from this past Thursday. We are out of here, my God, and we are on our way. Can I get a witness in the building? Anybody glad about it? We have been leasing from this horrible company, my God, for a long time, and God is about to set us free. And for that to happen, we need you to give to the work of the kingdom of God. And I appreciate your giving, because God is going to strengthen your will. It takes a strong will to sacrifice. This is something I was supposed to say in the sermon, and I'm just going to throw it out here really quickly because the Lord has reminded me of it. Anybody in the room or anybody that's watching live stream, please, if you're watching around the world, you can give the biggest gift you've ever given. You can go ahead and give, and you can pledge, and you can sow, and the cards, it's all there. Please give to the work of the kingdom of God. We're the universal body of Christ. But for everybody in the room and everybody that's watching around the world, if you have a toddler that is wearing you out, you got somebody two, somebody three, trying to run your life, trying to sleep in your bed, trying to tell you when to go, trying to tell, don't want to do what you say. See, nobody wants to say amen, or maybe y'all ain't in here because there's just no children's ministry. But you have a child, you're watching, somebody 3 years old who thinks they're in charge. This is a sign from the Lord. What God has done is he's given you a child with a strong will. He must have something for you to do. The three-year-old is trying to break you. Your will has to be stronger than that three-year-old's will. I've got me some strong-willed children. I've got some strong-willed children that just got it. There's nothing wrong with a strong-willed child if you understand that that strong-willed child is here to show you how strong your will is. It takes a strong-willed child of God to do the work of God. It takes a strong-willed child of God to give some of your coffee money. Okay. Some of your Popeye's money. Some of your Bojangles money. Some of your biscuit money. Some of your get a new phone as soon as it comes out money. Some of your hair, ooh, help us, money. Some of your feet getting done money. Don't you dare put more on your toes than you put in the kingdom. Some of y'all got lines and a little glitter in the middle, and your third toe says, hey, the devil is a liar. Don't you dare have hey on your third toe and don't give nothing to God. I see your toes. Ooh, this one, see this one right here is blue and this one's red. I want you to give God some of that toe money. I want you to buy your own stone and pumice your own heel. Rub the ash off your own heel. Okay. And give God some of that ashy heel money. Ooh. Some of that scratch somebody money. The Bible says, if you give, it'll be given unto you again. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. If you want to know about our vision, all that information is available online. Can't talk about it every week, but we have a powerful vision. We have a powerful vision. We are on our way somewhere great. Just this past week, I went to Chicago, John Hanna's church. They just opened up a building, seats 3,500. I mean, it took them 7 years because they built it in the hood, Pastor Al. I mean, he just sat there and bought up properties, 44 properties he bought. Every time it was a crack house, he bought it. Every time it was an empty lot, he bought it. Every time the house just fell apart, he bought it. Factory fell apart, he bought it. Over 7 years, ended up with 10 acres in the hood. In the hood. And I just walked around it. And he just told me what this was and this, what that was. And I just was walking around there saying, yeah, boy, vision feeds vision. It's something when you see what somebody believed God for. Oh, I wish I had a witness in the building. Can I get you to give? They had a thing on the wall. I mean, well, they had a thing on the wall where at Pastor Al, they had this thing where it was like a stone tablet with water flowing over it. If you gave $1,000, then you got your name stenciled on this stone with the water. And they said they called it getting in the flow. I told him, I'm biting that. I'm about to steal that right there. He said, you can have it. I'm like, thank you very much. 2,500 names on there. 2,500 people placed $1,000 and gave. Some of you still have yet to make a pledge. Some of you are still yet to make a pledge. Come on, beloved. When we walk in there, I want you to say, we did this. Doesn't take a lot. I'm not asking you for $1 million. I'm not asking you for $1 million.
I'm asking you to give what you can. Come on, let's pray. Lord, I just want to thank you for your people, making the best appeal I can, preaching the word as best we can, worshiping as best we can, serving as best we can in our humanity. Thank you for this moment. Bless gift and giver in the name of Jesus. As we give you some of our coffee money and some of our sandwich money and some of our lunch money, some of our new phone money, some of our hair getting done money, some of our just what we spend on stuff, video game. As we give, thank you for Victory Park. Thank you for where we're headed. Thank you that we haven't got long to stay here. And bless gift and giver in the name of Jesus. We all sit together. Amen. God bless you as you give. As you give, just jump on your feet. I'm going to pray for you and let you go. It's 12 o'clock. I really was planning on letting you go at 11:30, but that preacher dude just preaches too long. Anybody hear a word from the Lord today, this morning? Anybody hear a word from the Lord this morning? Again, beloved, our plan is to open up children's ministry. I will let you know the exact date. I know y'all are in the room, but for those of you that are watching around the world, all of you that came to church today, thank you for coming. It's a really, really good crowd, and as we're slowly coming back to church, I wouldn't mind us not going to church if we weren't at everything else. So thank you for coming to church. All the football games are jammed. I ain't see a mask. Go NC State! I'm like, oh my Lord. Come on, let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the service. Thank you for the anointing that started from the beginning to the end. Started with the prayers that the prayer team prayed, and Pastor Al and Elder Paul and all Pastor Frieda and all the folks who pray, walk around praying for chairs and praying for the room. It started there. Then the anointing that's on the team that practices and worships in anticipation for the people in the room and for the thousands around the world. The anointing on the gifts that you've given to men. The anointing, Lord God, on the man of God, the anointing that's on your word, the anointing that's on your people. Now, God, watch over us, protect us, be our God, and we will be your people. Let the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable in your sight. For everybody in the room, for everybody that's watching around the world, favor on your people in Jesus' name. We all sit together, amen. God bless you. You are dismissed. God bless you. Praise God for you.